Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Monday, everybody. And once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions this evening will be taken from the King James, Old King James version of the Bible. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am excited still because we are remaining in the book of Ezekiel. You know that there are 48 chapters in the book of Ezekiel, and I've written 98 instructions, and we're just on chapter 36. So I am excited about continuing this study because we know bounds upon the teachings of the prophet Ezekiel, who is considered by many theologians as the gloom and doom prophet. He scolded both Judah and Israel constantly because of their disobedience against the laws of God. Many of his prophecies have already been fulfilled, but the ones that haven't are still yet looming against Israel today, more especially those pertaining to the end of time, as also revealed in the book of Revelations by John the Revelator, who is also sometimes known as Apostle St. John the Divine. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops, your tablets, your Bible apps, or even regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you will be able to ask questions or comment or inquire, if you like, on the content of the subject matter. Now, before I get started, or you could even dial in and talk with me, the host has set up a chat room where we could have dialogue one with another during the program. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time, as I always do, to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I assure you that I am using and have used. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of Jesus or God? God said through Moses to Joshua, be strong and be of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he is he that does good with thee. He will not fail thee or forsake thee. The Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Now the promise is God will not fail you or me or forsake you or me if we are strong and courageous, staying in his word. God said again through King David, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. That's taken from Psalms 25, verse 14. The promise is that we will have revealed to us those things that we need to know, the secrets of the covenant, if you will. But we must fear God in order to receive it. God said again through King David, the meek, he will guide in judgment, and the meek, he will teach his ways. That's Psalms 25, verse 9. And again, the promise is that if we are meek and humble, lowly of spirit, as Jesus says we must be, following like him, that we will receive guidance and judgment, and we will be taught the ways that will get us to eternal life. My brothers and sisters, again, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God? Now, before we get to the study, I want to rehearse this for you. I think it is significant that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries and secrets and parables and prophecies, in proverbs and paradoxes, in riddles and in symbols. And the only way to break this code, my precious brothers and sisters, is through study and learning. And that's what we are getting ready to involve ourselves in. So let's go. Study and learn. Let's, if you will, turn your Bible apps or your sources to Ezekiel chapter 36. That's where we're going to start tonight. Ezekiel chapter 36, we're going to be reading several verses, verse 3 and then verse 6 through 8. And what I want you to do as I read the verses to you, I want you to keep in mind this instruction. This is what I want you to keep in mind as I read the text, the scripture text to you. A providence of God. Now, we know what providence means. That means God is providing something. So this is a providence of God that Ezekiel telling Israel they will receive while they're in captivity. This is what Ezekiel told Israel, Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 3. Therefore prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that you might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen, and you are taken up in the lips of talkers and are an infamy of the people, then 6 through 8 concludes the thought, prophesy therefore concerning the land of Israel, and say unto the mountains, and to the hills, to the rivers, and to the valleys, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury, because ye have bore the shame of the heathens. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up my hand, surely the heathens that are about you, they shall bear their shame. But ye, O mountain of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. And that is the providence that God, through Ezekiel, told Israel. Now what we're going to do is go to Deuteronomy just to amplify this. Turn with me, if you will. We're going to look at Deuteronomy, and we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, excuse me, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 through 6, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 through 6, and we're going to see how the law or how Moses rehearsed this to Israel that identifies basically the same. This is what Moses said. Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 through 6, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, providing, and all of these blessings shall come to thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the Lord thy God. And I see we're at our first commercial break. Let's take the break, and then we'll return, and we'll continue with the lesson.
Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Paul says, take a stand, withstand, and then stand in the evil day. And believe me, the battle for your soul begins in your mind. If Satan can control your thoughts, he'll control your destiny. Because I assure you, when Satan sees you walking down the road like this, he will totally destroy you. You can't possibly survive in your own strength. Why are so many Christians decimated right now? Why are they just absolutely falling out? Because they don't have the strength to endure. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord. Say that with me. Be strong in the Lord. That means put on this whole armor. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can get nothing from heaven without faith. Salvation comes by faith. Healing comes by faith. Peace, love, and joy come by faith. You are no match for the prince of darkness. But when you put on the whole armor of God, you are more than a conqueror. You can look the devil in the eye and say, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Get out of my life. Get out of my thoughts. Get out of my marriage. Get out of my home. Get away from my children. Get away from my health. The power and the anointing of God are with me. And I am the conqueror here. Resist. Steadfast in the faith. The translation is, fight him and fight him every day. Resist him and resist him every day. James writes, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Take a stand means you refuse to be intimidated by Satan, who comes as a roaring lion, according to 1 Peter 5. In nothing be not terrified by your adversary. In nothing be not terrified by your adversary. The Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. The truth is not something. The truth is someone. That someone is Jesus Christ. And when you know him, you have the truth. And you walk in the truth. And you joy in the truth. And you rejoice with truth that is unspeakable and unshakable. Because Christ is the solid rock, the cornerstone, precious and elect in Zion. He's not trying to be truth. He is the truth.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we were into Ezekiel, and we were reading the amplification of what Ezekiel told to Israel about God's providence, and we were hearing what Moses was rehearsing to Israel in Deuteronomy that expands upon this, and this is why I'm using Deuteronomy chapter 28. Let's complete the thought, and this is God's providence is what Moses told Israel that this would they will receive. These blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So if you, Israel, if you do what God says, do listen. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. And blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shalt thou be thy basket in store. Blessed shalt be thou when thou comest in and blessed thou shalt be when thou go out. Those are blessings that are God's providence if you hearken unto him. Now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament compliment. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to see what Jesus says about this today that specifically pertains to us, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through through 34, and this is what Jesus says. This is God's providence if we obey God. This is what Jesus says. Therefore, listen, my brothers and sisters, take no thought saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But listen, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. That's the providence. But we must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus continues, he said, take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day are the evils thereof. So that is God's providence and for us to follow today. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God provides all, good or evil. My brothers and sisters, you have to understand that. If you listen to God, you will get good providence. If you do not listen to God, you will get judgment. Okay, let's go to the second, the next instruction. We're going to go back to Ezekiel. We're going to look at 26 again, or 36 again, chapter 36. We're going to look at verse 23 through 32. And this is what Ezekiel, I want you to keep this in mind as I read the scripture to you. This is the instruction that I want you to pay attention to. God will deliver as he will. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? God will deliver as he will. That is so significant for us to know. And Ezekiel is telling Israel this. Even though Israel is in bondage, God will deliver as he wills. And this is how Ezekiel put it to Israel in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 21 through 23. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my own name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord thy God, saith the Lord God, which I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. And the concluding thought was verse 32, and he says, not for your sakes again do I do this, saith the Lord God, but it is known unto me, be ashamed and conform or confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. So again, what God is telling Israel through the prophet Ezekiel, that he is the one that is doing this because of his will and not because of Israel. Now we're going to go to Exodus and we're going to expound upon this. We're going to see how the law puts it. Exodus chapter 33, we're going to look at verse 17 through 19. And this is how Moses said to Israel about the same. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, Moses, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. That's the key, my brothers and sisters. God said it in general, that he will do what he wills. He will be gracious to whom he will be gracious, and he will show mercy to whom he will show mercy. And now we're going to go to Romans chapter 9. I want to compare and agree this with the New Testament. Turn with me to Romans chapter 9. We're going to look at verse 15 through 18. Romans chapter 9, verse 15 through 18. And this is how Paul reiterates what Moses says for our example. Paul said to the Romans, for he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore, hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will be hardened, he will be hard. And that, my brothers and sisters, explains to us that that's why maybe when we ask for things from God, we do not receive it, or we receive it as at a later time, is because God determines what we will do and what he will give and when he will give it. Okay, let's go back to Ezekiel for the next instruction. We're going to go to Ezekiel. We're going to look at chapter 37 this time in Ezekiel, and we're going to read verse 1 through 6 in chapter 37. And what I want you to do is keep in mind this particular instruction as I read the scripture text. The prophecy of the dried bones. This is what Ezekiel told Israel about the prophecy of the dried bones. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 through 6. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Then saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord God. So that was the prophecy of the dry bones, and we know that that prophecy was directed at Israel. Now what we're going to do is go to Psalms. We're going to go to Psalms 104, and we're going to amplify this, Psalms 104, verse 1 through 6. And this is what King David said in connection with God prophecies. This is what he said, Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who covereth thyself with light as with a garment, who also stretcheth out the heavens like curtains, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who layeth the foundation of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep, with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. Do you hear this prophecy that David is giving Israel in this psalm, that he is prophesying of God's power to do as he did with the dry bones? To complete the thought, we're going to go to Psalms. We're going to go to verse 23. Verse 23, and we're going to read through verse 31. And this is what verse 27 says through 31. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season, that thou givest them they gather. Thou openest thy hands, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die, and return to the dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. Thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. So again, it's showing in this psalm the prophecy that God will, like he did the dry bones, cause things to live and cause things to die. Now we're going to go to Matthew chapter 3. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 3. And we're going to look at what Jesus said concerning this in verse 5 through 9. Matthew chapter 3, verse 5 through 9. And this is how Jesus put it. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Sadducees and Pharisees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now, I said that this was Jesus, but this is John the Baptist, and he's identifying the prophecy. Verse 8 says, bring forth therefore fruits, meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. That's the key. The prophecy is that God can raise up to life anything. And that's what John the Baptist told them. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God dictates all outcomes, that God dictates all outcomes. That's what I want you to get from this particular instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will. We're going to look at instruction 37. We're going to Ezekiel 37 again. We're going to pull another instruction out of Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 10 through 14, verse 10 through 14, and this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the scripture text to you. The instruction is God promises life to Israel. So God promises life to Israel, even though they're in bondage. Ezekiel is prophesying this, and this is what he said to Israel in verse 10 through 14 of chapter 37. So I prophesy as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you out of your graves. And he concludes by saying, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I am the Lord that have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. So the God promised Israel life, and that is in the prophecy of the dry bones. Okay, let's go now to Chronicles. We're going to look at Chronicles chapter 2. I'm just going to emphasize this, that it's not what we know to be the same. We're going to go to Chronicles chapter 2. And we're going to look at chapter 7, the Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 10 through 15. And this, again, God has made a promise to Israel, and this is the promise of life. And he was telling it to Moses, and this is what he said in Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 10 through 15. And on the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in their heart for the gladness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel his people. Then Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the house, king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make the house of the Lord. And he, in his own house, he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will receive or forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now my eyes shall be open and my ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. So God promises life to Israel again. And so that's how we know that this is true and so significant. Now let's turn to John. We're going to go to our New Testament complement. We're going to turn to John chapter 10. And after the break, we'll continue.
The Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. So today, I will give no place to fear or failure, I will not accept a trace of apathy in my attitude or actions. I will reject complacency and embrace the greatness that God has planted inside of me. I will waste no opportunity to glorify God and maximize everything He has entrusted to me. I will fight. My battle is not against flesh and blood, but against a spiritual enemy who opposes me. So I will draw the battle lines and face my enemy with a bold determination. My enemy fights against me because he fears me. Every time I resist him, he must flee. And every time he reminds me of my past, I will remind him of his future. I will make no excuses, but through every obstacle I will find a way. I will not procrastinate my progress. I will not defer my destiny. I will not waver when I'm weak. I will not cower when my circumstances take a turn for the worse. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I will fight. Even if I lose the battle, I will win the war, because I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. I will reject the lies that echo in my mind, telling me that I don't have what it takes, that my best is behind me, or that humiliation awaits me. The devil is a liar, and my God always causes me to triumph. Through Jesus Christ, my Lord, I will fight. I'm unashamed to represent a kingdom that is unshakable. No one will be able to stand against God's plan for me all the days of my life. With my God, I will advance against every troop. With his help, I will scale every wall. Though my enemies surround me, my God surrounds my enemies. Though they may come at me one way, they will flee seven ways. Because no weapon formed against me will prosper. And every evil thing that rises against me, I will condemn, I will fight. My heart is steadfast. My purpose is immovable. I am always abounding in the work of the Lord. And my potential is unlimited because the limitless God lives within me. I will fight. The cross is before me. The world is behind me. I'll never turn back. I'll never give up. I'll never settle. I'll never stop short. I will press toward the mark for the prize that is already mine. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation shall be able to separate me from my God. And if my God is for me, who can be against me? I will fight.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, let us continue with the instruction God promises like to Israel. And we already know what Ezekiel said to Israel in captivity. And we also know what he told Solomon about life to Israel. Now let's look at what Jesus says today. For us to understand that God promises life. We're going to turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to John chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 6 through 10. John chapter 10, verse 6 through 10, and this is what Jesus said. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood it not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that enter came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life, and that ye might have life more abundantly. So we can see that Jesus is the answer today of the promise for life, more abundantly everlasting life. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God, his will, that all mankind be saved. It is identified in the book of 1 Timothy, and we hear that it's God's will that all mankind be saved. And we know that it's more scripture substantiating that, For instance, Jesus said in the book of Matthew that he did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. And he also said in the book of Luke, chapter 19, that he said it to Zacchaeus, that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. So we know that this is the key to life, that God has sent his Son to give us eternal life. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me, if you will, to Ezekiel. We're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 37 again. We're going to look at some more verses in 37. We're going to look at verse 20 through 22 and verse 26 through 28. Now, this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. The parable of the two sticks. This is what Israel told, or this is what Ezekiel told Israel while they were in captivity. In Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 20 through 22, he said, "And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thy hand before their eyes. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all." And verse 26 through 28 completes the thought. It says, "Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore." That is the parable of the two sticks, and we know that that parable has not been completed yet. Now, just to amplify that more parables have been given in the past, we're going to go to Genesis, and we're going to see in Genesis, you know, chapter 27, how God spake to Israel in this instance. Genesis chapter 27, and we're going to look at verse 38 through 41, and this is connecting the dots. This is where we have two, one against another, where the parable of the two sticks indicated that the two nations were split to begin with. Listen to what happened earlier on with Esau and Jacob. It says in verse 38, "And Esau said unto his father, Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even also as thou blessed." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, "Behold, my dwelling shall be with the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shalt thou live, and thou shalt and serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off your neck." And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau in his heart said, "The days of mourning of my father are at hand. Then I will slay my brother Jacob." So you can see where Jacob and Esau were at odds with one another. And just to show again how what the parable of the two sticks, this is where they reunited, the brothers reunited. In Genesis chapter 33, verse 1 says, "And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men, and he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids." Verse 4 says some more, "And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept." And verse 9 completes the thought, "And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou which thou have thyself." And that tells us that the two had become one. And that's the significance of the parable of the two sticks. That amplifies it. And now what we're going to do is go to the book of Acts. We're going to go to the book of Acts. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts. And we're going to see how today this parable also is in effect in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 1 through 6, chapter 9, verse 1 through 6, and we can see how Saul had odds with Christianity and how God brought him into his fold to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Verse 1 says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that he found of any way those that were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said unto the Lord, What wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. And we go to verse 10 through 16, and it gives the other information to show you where the Ananias confronted or thought that he shouldn't, Saul, be a part of the ministry. And this is what verse 10 through 16 says, and it shows you how the parable of the two six, where the two nations came together, we can see where Christianity and Saul became one. And it says in I see we're at the next break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue.
The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. I've got a promise. Turning back is not an option. There's a calling on my life, and I'm not about to drop it. I got this. For this I was chosen. The final word over me was spoken before I was born. I have a purpose that goes far beyond what I want, what I feel, what I see, and what they say cannot be. With God, all things are possible. And when my desire aligns with the divine, I am unstoppable. In this, I will be confident. Of course the climb is hard. I'm not surprised. The dream is difficult by design to make sure I rely on His might, not mine. His plan, not mine. His hand, not mine. My assignment was conceived in His heart, His mind. And the blessing ahead will always be greater than the battle behind. So this is not the time to compromise or entertain a thousand lies and a million reasons why I can't or it won't or it's not or I'll never. I've heard it before, so shut up, devil. God didn't say He'd make it easy. He said He'd make me better, make me strong, and give me grace to carry on. No matter what the opposition, I only need one weapon. I have the faith to overcome. In this I will be confident. I'm too close to quit, and the stakes are too great for me to hesitate. So whatever it costs, whatever it takes, I keep coming. I show up, take the shot with my hands shaking. The fear is real, but it won't break me. God will not fail me, nor forsake me. I'll keep coming. I'll step to the battle like it's already won. Like I got the enemy on the run. I speak and believe like it's already done. In this, I will be confident. He made me a promise. He gave me a calling. I know that He's able to keep me from falling. I focus my hope. My excuses are gone. The moment to prove the power of God has come. He made me a promise. He gave me a calling. I know that He's able to keep me from falling. I focus my hope. The past is gone. The moment to prove the power of God has come. In this, I will be confident. The time is now. The odds are long. The haters are loud. The pressure is on. But devil, you messed with the wrong one. I got my sling. I got my stone. And in the name of my God, I will overcome. In
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, what I'm going to do, we're going to continue with the parable of the two sticks, and I'm going to add some background. I'm going to let you know why there was two nations in Israel. For those of you who may not know, that under King Solomon's reign, at the end of his reign, he had two high priests. King David had two high priests. And King David, when Solomon took over the throne, he was in contention with Absalom. And so one of the high priests supported Absalom, and the other high priest supported King Solomon. And so when King Solomon went into office, the high priest that supported Absalom was kicked out with the rest of them. And those nations that were, those tribes that were in that group, they split and went to Samaria. So they became the northern tribes, as it is known today. They are still lost to Israel. If you look at the tribes that are in Israel to this day, there are only two, maybe mingled with a third, but basically it is Judah, that's why they're called Jews, and Benjamin, and maybe some of Leviticus. But anyway, the other tribes have been lost, and this parable of the two sticks has not been completed yet because God is going to bring all 12 tribes back together before the end will come. Now, this is just to identify that when we talked about what Ezekiel told Israel during the captivity in Babylon was in relationship to that. And in Genesis, the reason I read Genesis was to show you where Esau and Jacob were in conflict one with another and how that conflict was resolved too. And that was similar to the parable of the two sticks. Now we're in the book of Acts and we're looking at Saul and Christianity. And specifically, Ananias and Saul were the two that Ananias did not want to do or to bring Saul in. He was afraid of him, but God told Ananias that Saul was his chosen one, and that's what we're reading now, verse 10 through 16. And this is what it says. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tyrus, or Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen a vision, a named man, Ananias, coming in, and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man, and how much evil he had done to the saints in Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind that call on thy name. But the Lord Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So you can see how, like in comparison to the parable of the two sticks, that God, Jesus, through Jesus, he brought Ananias in to help Paul, and how Paul came to be a part of Christianity. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God will unite all that is his at the end of time. And that's when we'll all become one. But until that time, there may be conflicts. And this is what I want you to understand, that in the end, God will reunite all of his. Okay, let's go now to the next instruction. We're going to go to back to Ezekiel chapter 38 this time, Ezekiel chapter 38, and we're going to look at several verses, meaning verse 2 and 3, 14, and then verse 18 through 23. And I want you to pay attention to the instruction, which is the prophecy against Gog and Magog. That is yet to come, my precious brothers and sisters. And this is what Ezekiel said about the end times, the prophecy against Gog and Magog. And this is chapter 38, starting with verse 2, it says, Son of man, set thy face against God in the land of Magog, of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief priest of Meshech and Tubal. Then we're going to go to verse 14, continuing. It says, Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, Thus saith the Lord God, In that day when my people of Israel dwelt safely, shalt thou know it? And verse 18 to 23 completes the thought. And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creepeth upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fail or shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother, and I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many peoples that are with him, an overflowing rain and a great hailstorm and fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord God. This is the prophecy against Gog and Magog. And I see we're at our last break for the evening. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the...
It's an urge. Truth be told, every champion has felt it. Every president has felt it. Every king has felt it. Every lion has felt it. Every winner has felt it. Every soldier has felt it. Every victorious person has felt it. The urge to quit. Don't you give up on your dream. I don't care if you don't have the money, you don't have the health, and you don't have the family for it, and you don't have the background for it, and you don't have the friends for it. Don't you give up on your dream. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. It may take you twice as long. You may have to take courses and classes. You might not read as fast. You might not move as quick. You might not have as much. But don't you quit. Don't you quit. Don't you quit. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. As weak as you are, as tired as you are, as many mistakes as you made, you do make a difference. There is something they would lose if you were not there. There was something that they would miss if you were not there. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. You do make a difference. Keep hopping. It's for people that are trying to hop their way back home. Come hell or high water, doing the best they can with what they got. That's who we are, doing the best we can with what we got. And we may not break any ribbons and we may not get any trophies, but if we can learn how to hang on in there, we'll be all right. I will not lie to you, I feel like going on. But I have seen days I did not want to get out of the bed, didn't want to put on clothes, and didn't even feel like brushing my teeth. I've seen days so dark that I just wanted to keep driving, and I didn't even care where I ended up or what you called me. They came, and they passed, and they came to pass. I kept the faith. I kept it. I lost a lot of stuff. I lost a lot of friends. I lost a lot of strength. I lost a lot of courage. I lost a lot of time. I lost a lot of money. But I kept down on
on my knees, I was still believing. Broke, I was believing. Lonely, I was believing. Betrayed, I was.
If you lose the job, keep the faith. If you lose the spouse, keep the faith. If you bury your child, keep the faith. If you have to downsize, keep the faith. If you have to move in with your mama, keep the faith. If you're at your wits' end, keep the faith. If you have to catch the bus, keep the faith. If you have to love, keep the faith. If you get sick, keep the faith. If you lose your kidneys, keep the faith. If you got heart trouble, keep the faith. You might not get a new heart, but you gotta keep your faith.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we were looking at the prophecy against Gog and Magog, and we know that this hasn't been satisfied yet. It's still pending, and just to add more emphasis to this, we're going to look at chapter 39, verse 1 through 6. It tells more about this prophecy. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and leave but the sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel, and I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thy arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field, for I have spoken it, saith the Lord God. And I will send a fire on Magog, and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord God Almighty. Now that is what the prophecy is against Gog and Magog. It has not been satisfied yet, but that's what Israel told, or that's what Ezekiel told Israel while they were in bondage. Now, just to identify or amplify this, that this is not the first time destruction was identified by God, total destruction. This is in Genesis. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, verse 17 through 21. This is what God did. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after me, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which has been spoken of him. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And then in chapter 19, it concludes the thought. Chapter 19, it says that in chapter 19, verse 13, it says, chapter 19, verse 13, it says again, for we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord had sent us to destroy it. Verse 24 continues, it says, verse 24 says, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. So you can see they were destroyed. Now let's go to the New Testament complement, and I'm going to tell you what happened at Gog and Magog in Revelations chapter 20, verse 7. Through 10, Revelations chapter 20, verse 7 through 10. Listen to what it says, my precious brothers and sisters. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather together them to battle, the number of whom is of the sands of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compass the camp of the saints about. And the beloved city and the fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That is the conclusion of the prophecy. That's when it will be completed. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that God will destroy all that oppose him. In the end, God will destroy all. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, that completes the program for tonight. And as we always say, we, the host and I, would like to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement. Good night.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth tonight. Please join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E.